Hello, welcome back to the Guitar Craft and Other Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Andre Flood. It's a snow day in my city, New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey. And I just had a few things that I wanted to talk to you all about today, a few philosophical ideas in regards to guitar and art in general. And these are some things that I've been really thinking about a lot over the last few months. So let's just talk about it. And I'll just also say up front that my final course, my final way of teaching guitar is now available at oneguitarcourse.com. The basic idea is that you pay one fee one time, and then you have all my past lessons, all of my future lessons forever. So I update it like once a month or so with new lessons and so on. It's like a Netflix for guitar, but you only have to pay for it one time. And if you like the way that I talk about music and the way I think about music and learning the instrument, all of my lessons are there. So the first thing I kind of want to talk about is not even related to guitar directly, but if you're an artist, I think you'll understand what I'm trying to get at here. So a couple of years ago, actually, me and Mystery Girl went to see a movie. And I promise you, we're going to bring this back to guitar fairly quickly. And this is a movie that she had known about for a while because it started as a book. So she read the book many, many years ago. She had been telling me for years to read the book, but I actually don't like reading fiction at this point in my life. I've never really enjoyed reading fiction. So I'm like, yeah, I'll listen to the audiobook eventually. I'll read it eventually, but I just never got around to it, obviously. And then it was made into a film and she was very excited for us to go see it. And well, I don't want to spoil the film for you because I do encourage you to go out and watch it, but I'll give you a basic idea of what it's about without spoiling anything. So the film is called Where the Crawdads Sing. Came out in 2022. And long story short, it's basically about a girl who's growing up in, you know, the early 1900s in a little marsh in one of the Carolinas. I believe it's South Carolina. And it's just her story. You know, there's love, there's heartbreak, there's trials and tribulations. It's just a very simple, well-done story. And then there's one major twist at some point in the story. That's all. And when we were watching the movie together, I was just completely engrossed in this movie. I love films in general, but this film hit me at the right moment in the right time where I was just gripped by every minute of the movie. And then when the little twist happened, I was just flabbergasted. And, you know, she was very excited to see how excited I was. And she was like, yeah, it's actually really good compared to the book. They did a really good job. Usually they don't do a good job of making the book a movie, but they did a really great job here. And then she had one of my friends, one of our shared friends, she had him go watch the movie as well. And his reaction was basically that it was boring. There was nothing happened. And hearing his reaction and thinking about my reaction and how I felt about it, it instantly brought me back to guitar playing and the journey of guitar players. And I feel like this topic is especially important in our current day and age of playing guitar, with social media, with hype, with Instagram reels and short videos and TikTok and all of that stuff. Before I connect it to guitar further, let me just explain to you why this movie was exceptional, why it was excellent. We had a main character. She had a great cast of supporting characters. There was a great story that was told extremely tight. There were no extra scenes. There were no diatribes or wasted dialogue between characters. There was no wasted storylines. It was a very clear, tight story done extremely well with no fat. And I think that in today's day and age of spectacle, we really underestimate what great art is and what great art can be. If you're into films, And I'll just talk about my friend in general, who in particular, who didn't like the movie. He loves Martin Scorsese films, you know, really long, like crime dramas. He loves movies by Christopher Nolan, very big spectacles and explosions, and Steven Spielberg. Don't get me wrong, I love all of those directors too, and they are amazing directors. They are fantastic directors, some of my favorite. But the misconception here is that in order for a piece of art to be great, it has to be spectacle. In order for a piece of art to be great, it doesn't have to be just explosions and extremely long stories and all of these different things. It doesn't have to be that way. And again, I'm bringing this up because I almost feel like, as someone putting guitar music out there online, I feel like, and this might be entirely internal, this might have nothing to do with the reality of the world, it might just be my inner monologue, but it's almost like I feel like I'm fighting with the world to show people that guitar isn't just shredding. Can I play fast? Yes. Have I shown myself playing fast many times? Of course I have. I fall into the trap as well. I want to show off just like everybody else. Do I think playing fast is a great skill to develop? Yes. Do I think playing complicated music is great and exciting? Of course. But that's not the only thing there is to music. That just isn't. And there was a time in music when we could sit down and enjoy a simple, tight, well-done song. Just like a simple, tight, well-done movie. And this conversation happened a few months ago. And ever since then, I've been kind of making it my mission to start posting music that is just simple and tight and well-done to the best of my ability, and to try to highlight that aspect of music. And here's the truth of the matter. Unless you are trying to be a touring musician for a technical death metal or a technical fusion or the most advanced form of jazz, unless you are the 0.1% of people on this planet who play guitar, chances are you don't have the time to dedicate to becoming that level of player. And don't get things confused here. I don't mean level in terms of greatness. I mean level in terms of technical sophistication. But we have to remember that just because things are technically advanced doesn't mean they are inherently better or worse. It just doesn't. It's just different. And I think the issue is that when we only have 5 seconds to showcase our playing online, that's what gets shown. It's the people who show the most crazy things that gets the most attention, because if you only have 5 seconds, you want to watch something crazy, not something simple. I totally understand that. And we see this in many forms of modern social media. If you are into, you know, lifting weights and you go on social media, you'll only find people lifting, you know, 800, 900, 1,000-pound deadlifts. Even a 600-pound deadlift, which is extremely unlikely for most people. A 600-pound deadlift is unattainable for most people. That's not considered crazy enough to get a ton of views. Just in case you don't lift, here's the average person. The average person in a gym will deadlift 300 pounds. The average person who focuses hard will deadlift somewhere between 400 and 550 pounds in their lifetime. 405 to 550 is kind of like, wow, that person was extremely dedicated and they worked really hard. If you go to gyms for your whole life, I've been going to gyms for, I've been going to the gym weekly for 14 years, and I've went to advanced gyms. I've went to private gyms. My current gym is a private gym. I can count on one hand the amount of times I saw someone deadlift 600 pounds or above. And I've only seen one person deadlift 800 pounds in person one time in this one private gym. So my point in saying this example is that if you are an average person, lifting 300 pounds from the floor is fantastic. Amazing for your health, for your back, for your legs, for your heart. And that alone will help you live a longer, healthier life. But that's not what people want to see online. They want to see the 800, 900,000 pound deadlifts as an example. I'm the same way. I'm guilty of it too. I want to see that too. And when I think about my average student and the average person who watches my channel or listens to the podcasts, I just want you and even me, like I'm the same way. I want us all to really embrace this idea of just doing something well. We don't have to be able to play animals as leaders. We don't have to be able to play Dream Theater songs. If you want to learn how to play that music, I encourage you to do it. But that's not the only thing there is to music. In fact, that is probably the smallest portion of what music is on a grand scale. I'll give you another quick example that made me realize this again. You know, these are things that I've known, of course, for a long time, but the realization comes to you in waves. So on YouTube the other day, a few months ago, someone was like, hey, you know, I heard you playing part of What a Wonderful World, one of your videos. It would be great if you could post a full arrangement of that for Christmas. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like fun. So I made a little arrangement. It's the holiday season, you know, December. So I'm working on it near family members. And my mom stops me and goes, wow, I love that song. It's so beautiful. And she starts singing the song, What a Wonderful World. You've probably heard it yourself as well. And to me, that was a huge moment. And that was a big deal and a big reminder because my mom has, of course, heard me play guitar for thousands of hours. She's probably heard me play the melodic minor scale 10,000 times. I'm not even joking. Just growing up, you know? And she basically never stops me when I'm playing. Like, she'll never just, you know, come over to me and say, hey, even growing up, hey, that sounds great, because I tend to get really focused. I don't like to get distracted. I can be a little bit snippy if I'm practicing and someone bothers me. At least back in the day when I was younger, I was that way. I took everything too seriously, you know? And on top of that, she also doesn't recognize a lot of the things that I'm playing, because why would she know what a melodic minor scale sounds like? Why would she care to hear me try to sweep pick arpeggios? It doesn't mean anything to the average person who's not a musician. But the moment she heard me playing a recognizable song in a somewhat decent way, she was extremely impressed. And I posted a little clip of me playing that on Instagram as well. And one of my childhood friends, someone that I knew when I was 12, when I first started playing guitar, she goes, oh, you know, I showed my mom that clip and she was so impressed. She remembers when you started playing guitar, you know, back when we were in elementary school, middle school. And she showed me this long thing that her mom sent to me, you know, oh my God, you were always a good kid. I saw you, you know, progress and this is so beautiful. You know, all of these really, really nice, sweet things. And I was just floored, because it's like when you're stuck in the music world, be it online, on Instagram or YouTube, or even like, you know, in New York City, going to concerts and gigs and, you know, taking lessons with famous guitarists and aspiring to be great. It's so easy to get sucked in the funnel of, I need to play like, insert amazing guitarist here. I need to play as good as Guthrie Govan. I need to play as good as Tommy Emmanuel. I need to play as good as Jonathan Kreisberg or Tosin Abasi or John Petrucci. Right? I need to be able to downpick at 220 beats per minute in order to be great one day. But at the end of the day, our biggest ability to connect with music, with other people, is by playing things that are tight and done well and done nicely. Just like that movie. And I really want to highlight that for you as a listener, as a student, as a friend, as a fellow guitar player. I really want you to understand this message. And I've been trying to do that myself on my channel. So I'll link some videos below. But as a quick example, I did an arrangement of the song Wichita Lineman. This is, in my opinion, one of the best songs ever written, in my opinion. The story tells a song of a lineman, you know, someone who works on the telephone poles for the county, and he has a lover, and he needs to take a little vacation. It's just an everyday guy, a normal guy in his normal job, and the song's about that. The chords are fairly simple. The lyrics are fairly simple. The melody is fairly simple. There's a guitar solo that's extremely simple. But that song is gorgeous. There's not a long, progressive diatribe with sweep picking and arpeggios and alternate picking. There's not four different time signature changes or tempo changes. It's just a nice, tight song. That's all it is. And it's fantastic. So I did an arrangement of that song. You can download it for free and all of that stuff. I'll link it in the show notes. And when I was writing that arrangement, I kept stopping and I'm like, oh my God, at this point, I can do a really cool sweep picking thing. At this point, I can do this really cool legato passage that really highlights a melodic minor over a minor chord that goes into a major seven, flat six kind of a mode thing. Like I can do harmonic major over the major chord and I can shred right here and it'll be so cool. And then I said to myself, no, the point of this song is simplicity and tightness. That's the point of this song. The point of the song is not to showcase that I know so many modes and I can play fast and I can play, you know, fancy chords. The point of this song is this simple, clear, tight story of this man and his job and his lover who he misses. And so when I stopped myself from going the crazy route, the normal guitarist route, when I stopped myself from doing that, all of a sudden I found so many different things that I could add nuance to. And I also just launched a chord melody thing within onecourse.com. Again, you buy it one time, you get everything. So like my latest update is a whole section on playing solo guitar and arranging for solo guitar and so on. And I talk about this nuance, but in keeping things super simple, just focusing on the melody of the song, the simple harmony, and making these two merge together as a solo guitar player, I was able to find all of this beautiful nuance and letting sustained notes ring out and arching my fingers in a perfect way so that I can have the open strings ring out in certain portions and doubling the melody at certain ideas and going up the octave and seeing what the guitar taught me about playing the melody in different octaves and what that means for different chord voicings. You see, my point here is that even within a simple song, there is so much that we can explore as musicians to create beauty. And when we go deep in that direction, we're able to create music that is rich without necessarily losing 99% of the planet. Now, again, I'm going to say this right now. I probably already said this too many times, but I'm going to reiterate it again. I love crazy music as much as the next person. I mean, I have a PhD in music because I love crazy complicated musical stuff. So I'm not talking down on Dream Theater. I'm not talking down on Tosin Abasi. I'm not talking down on anybody who's technical. I love that stuff. I love it. But just because we love the technical stuff doesn't mean we can't appreciate and also highlight the beauty of simple things. Going back to the movie example, right? The movie Where the Crawdad Sings is a great movie, and so is Inception. They're both beautiful movies. They both have totally different goals and they both should exist in this world, and we should celebrate both of them. And I guess my concern is that in art in general, as we move to just bigger and bigger examples of spectacle, we're losing some of that simple beauty. And I think oftentimes for guitar players especially, it's like we all start playing guitar. A lot of us don't even know about some of these crazy things, some of these crazy bands and artists. We don't know about this when we first start playing guitar. We have these goals. And before we know it, it's been 10 years and we spent the last 7 of those years just practicing alternate picking and just practicing Paul Gilbert's riffs and licks and sequences. I love Paul Gilbert, by the way. I'm not talking bad about Paul Gilbert. I love him to death. But we often get lost in just following that aspect of music at the expense of everything else. And in fact, I was reminded of this when one time, this might have been 2 or 3 years ago, I was listening to Tosin Abasi talk in an interview. And he was like, yeah, I suck at playing blues. And, you know, over the last couple of years, I kind of just started focusing on just trying to play a blues solo. And it just, to me, that highlighted the fact that, yeah, things that we consider simple, things that are beautiful and simple, it's not like if we focus on crazy technical things, we automatically get all the simple nuance. Just because you are a modern guitar god, like Tosin Abasi is, doesn't mean you can automatically play a nice solo guitar arrangement. It doesn't mean you can automatically play a nice blues solo that's compelling and that captures an audience, right? Doesn't mean you can write a song like Wichita Lineman that's perfect from a lyric perspective, melody perspective, harmonic perspective. It doesn't mean you have all those other skills as well. And so even if you do want to be the next Michelangelo Batio or the next John Petrucci or the next Tosin Abasi or next Paul Gilbert or the next Tim Miller or Jonathan Kreisberg, even if you want to be that person one day, don't forget about the simple building blocks of music that really create great music. A harmony, a melody, execution. Execution is one of those things that is never talked about on guitar. No one ever reminds you that when you play guitar, you have to pick a note confidently. When you're playing a melody, that melody has to be confidently played. Otherwise, it will not sound good and it will not be compelling. When was the last time someone reminded you to play your quarter notes fat? Playing a fat quarter note with conviction. You can spend a month just focusing on playing your quarter notes fat with conviction, and that will make you sound way better than a month spent on alternate picking as fast as possible. I promise you. I promise you. And so I'll just say this in closing as another reminder to make sure that the message was not missed whatsoever here. If your goal is to be the next shred god on Instagram, I 1000% encourage you to have that goal and to continue practicing that. But while you spend some of your time working on that, I really want to encourage you to also at times, perhaps daily, perhaps weekly, whenever you have a time, take a step back and remember to appreciate the simplicity and the beauty of a melody and harmony and simple music. Spend a couple of days just playing things that are simple. Spend a couple of days trying to write your own simple song that has conviction, that has tightness to it. If you usually like to write and play technical music, technical type shreddy stuff with multiple type signatures, give yourself the challenge of writing a song that's in 4/4 time, that's only 2 minutes long, that has a compelling start, middle, and end. And then try to challenge yourself to make sure that sounds conviction, that you're playing that with conviction. And then challenge yourself to play it with just one guitar by yourself. No overdubs, no backing track. And then challenge yourself to make sure that that melody sticks out from the harmony and that you don't have any bum notes and that they're sustaining notes. And then I think once you have that ability, once you have spent time doing that, it only enhances whatever else you want to do. Because in some ways, it kind of deepens your understanding of what music is and how to really feel music on a slower, on a slower level, if that makes sense, you know? And if you're someone who continuously, and this is me talking to myself, my younger self, if you're someone who continuously feels yourself being frustrated because you are not the next famous Instagram guitar player or the next TikTok guitar player, don't forget that most of the world and most of the music world even does not care about that. Most people on the planet do not care about you playing super fast things and changing time signatures. Most people on the planet want to hear a nice, tight song played well, played with conviction, that tells a story that's easy to follow. And that is beautiful. That is beautiful, just like Dream Theater is beautiful. Another quick reminder, if you like that form of music, if you want to explore that form of music, and really, I should also just say about the course, oneguitarcourse.com. Of course, I don't just teach simple things. I also teach very advanced stuff as well. You know, it's the whole gamut of things. But my underlying premise for everything that I teach and everything that I try to play is simplicity. So even when I'm playing, when I'm teaching things that are very complicated, I want you to be able to follow, and I help my students understand the simple building blocks that eventually get you to being able to play whatever you want, be it technical things, be it simple things. There is a simple building block structure to music that underlies everything, and I try to do my best to convey that to students in a way that is clear and efficient and insightful. So again, I'll link that below. You know what? I'll even give a discount for you all for listening to the podcast. I'll include the discount below as well. And I'll also include some of my solo guitar arrangements that below where I'm really trying to focus on, you know, simplicity and cohesion and tightness and all of those different things. And yeah, we'll talk soon.